Okay, a few short things. First idea. Okay, it's Parshas Pinchas, Shabbos Mevarchim. When is Rosh Chodesh? Friday. On one day Rosh Chodesh? Obviously, always only one day Rosh Chodesh. One day Rosh Chodesh, so it's Shabbos Mevarchim. And what? Shabbos Mevarchim Menachem Av. Parshas Pinchas, it's the first of the Gimel Diparanusa. We know that the next 10 weeks are part of a series, the Haftarah. Normally the Haftarah, that's a discussion, what is the purpose of the Haftarah? The Haftarah normally relates to the Parsha. For the next 10 weeks, the Haftarah has nothing to do with the Parsha. The Haftarah, it's a whole new category of weeks. It has what to do with the Me'orah, Me'ein HaMe'orah, current events. Current events are the Churban Beis HaMikdash and Nechamas Tzion. 3 weeks of Puranusa, 3 weeks of punishment, describing powerful Musar from the Nevi'im. How can you sin? How can you let this happen? And then after the Churban Tishbav, there are 7 weeks of Nechama, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, 7 weeks from Yeshaya, from the prophet that we're learning now, following Perek Nem towards the end of Sefer Yeshaya. But the first 3 weeks, we read from Yirmiyah, two weeks, Parashas Pinchas, Amatas Maaseh, we read from Yirmiyah, and then Parashas Chazon, Parashas Tevarim, which is the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, we also read a Nevuah of Piranusa, of punishment, of Musar, but that comes from Sefer Yeshaya. Therefore, what am I trying to say? Pinchas is always the first week of, it's the lead-off hitter. It's the first week of the series of 10 Shabbosos. It's always the first week. And therefore, there is significance. There has to be significance in that Pinchas represents the Haskola of the Gimel de Paranusa and the Zayin de Nechemta. So I saw a very nice idea that Pinchas is the beginning of the Bein HaMetzarim. The Bein HaMetzarim is 21 days. 3 weeks. 21 days starting with Shavuos and Tammuz, concluding with Tisha B'Av. In Pinchas, now this is a little bit of a doichin, and I know we can do better. I was actually working on this, but let's just for right now the basics. There are 21 special days in Parshas Pinchas. It's a little bit of a doichin. Again, you have to figure out what is the 21st day that's hidden somewhere in the Parsha. But what are the 21 days? Well, let's count. I'm not good at counting. You'll count with me. There are 8 days that we have the Korbanos. We have all of the Korbanos in Parshas Pinchas. We'll work backwards. There are 8 days of Sukkot, right? There are 7 days of Pesach and 1 day of Shavuos. So 7 plus 1 is 8. So Pesach and Shavuos is 8. And 8 days, the Shalosh Hagom, and 8 days of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, is 16. What else do we have? We have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So we have 18. 16, 18. What else do we have? We have, I want to take it back. It's not, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not 2 days. Now this is where it's a little bit of a doichik. Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. Now you're not going to like that because the only reason why it's 2 days is because of Sfeikah D'Yoma. It's not really Sfeikah D'Yoma. We know even in the Bizman Shebeis, Hamikdash HaYekayim, if the Eidim would not come to the Mekadesh Al Piri'iya by a certain point of time, even Bizman Shebeis, Hamikdash Kayim, they would be, in order that the Shira of the Levim should not be in the Skalkel, it should not be ruined, they would extend Rosh Hashanah into the second day, 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So it built into the Jewish calendar, Afilu Bizman Shebeis Hamikdash Kayam is a 2 day Rosh Hashanah. I know not everyone is happy with that. I see the expression on your face.
I'm just thinking, where are the other 2 that are left?
What?
I'm just trying to think.
Okay, so you'll allow me to say this, not only me, but you'll allow Rosh Hashanah, even in a biblical level, is 2 days. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a grand total of 3. Right? 3. And we mentioned that the Shalosh Regalim are 16. 8 plus 8. 8 plus 7 plus 1. So 16, 17, 18, 19. We only need 2 more days. What are the 2 more days? Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So in this week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always fair game. Zelu mazeh bore Elokim. We come into the 3 weeks. Parshas Pinchas is the lead-off hitter for the 3 weeks. It's difficult if we really understand what the 3 weeks are about. Unfortunately, everything just flies over our head. But if we would really focus on the 3 weeks, it's a very depressing time. It's a very tragic time for Klal Yisrael, the 3 weeks, 21 days. Parshas Pinchas brings us in, but immediately Pinchas comes to give us comfort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us Zeh L'umazeh 21 special days to focus on. To remember the bracha of the Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Hashem has given us these 21 days to compensate, to be mechazik us for the 21 days of the 3 weeks. There's also another idea which is not what I'm even prepared to say, is that where else do we have 21 days? We have starting from Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres, Yimei Hadin. The Yimei Hadin is V'Hayisa Ach Samech Ach is 21. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei, obviously. And when is the season over? The season is over Shmini Atzeres. After Rosh Hashanah, there's no sin. After Rosh Hashanah, Atzeres Yimei Tshuva. And after Atzeres Yimei Tshuva, there are 4 days. We don't do any Averes. The first those 4 days are all swallowed up in the season. We prepare to do the mitzvahs of Sukkot, and we go through the 8 days of Sukkot, and the 21st day of Tishrei is Shmini Atzeres. Yeah?
Let's go back a second. Does anyone suggest an alternative to Rosh Hashanah as Pesach Sheni?
But it's not in the parsha. See, we have to. Pinchas has to provide with us. So I was thinking, okay, I mean, this is off the record. I was disturbed. Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. It's not really 2 days. Okay, it's all right. It's a good answer. But I was thinking, we have to find in the parsha. And there are a lot of events happening here in the parsha. There is smicha. You know, there are other significant events happening here. There is Yerusha Saaretz. There is Moshe Rabbeinu giving smicha to Talmidim. There are other significant events here in the parasha where perhaps those represent special days that are days of great simcha. Perhaps smichas chachamim, the day when smicha, what? Chagas smicha, a day where the shalshelis of the Torah is given over to the next. Maybe that's another day that we're referring to here in Parashas Pinchas, which is coming to compensate, coming to counteract the 21 days of the Yibnei HaMetzan. But also we have to remember that this is popular Jewish, that the 21 days of the Yibnei HaMetzan correspond to the 21 days because they both represent Tshuva. Okay, even though the Yimei HaMetzarim, the days of Avelos, but it's not a pure Avelos. There's a purpose in the Avelos. The Avelos is to do tshuva, to bring the Geula. As long as there's sin aschinim, the korban only happened because of sin. Sin aschinim, avod zera, gilirai, shvichastam, gezel, whole long list of Avelos. There's a midrash, and they give you a list, the list goes on. Chet is what brought us to korban. What is Yimei Tshuva? What are the 21 days of Elul? It's also Tshuva. The only difference is the 21 days are Tshuva for the individual. The 21 days of the Yimei HaMetzarim is Tshuva for the Tzibur, for the Klal. For Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, Churban Golus. So there's also this relationship of the 21 days of the personal Tshuva, which really are days of Simcha to a certain degree, with the 21 days of Yimei HaMetzarim, which is Churban, which is for the Tzibur, for Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's one idea. Another interesting idea. This week's Parashas Pinchas is very special because we lay in the carbon of Shabbos. The Gemara says that every Yom Tov, we take out two Sefer Torah. We take out a Sefer Torah, the first Sefer Torah from the Bein HaMo'orah, what we lay in, the parashas, the Pesach, that's Shavuos, we lay in the Yisro, we lay in a Shavuos of Yom HaBikurim, and then we lay in the Karbanos. A separate Sefer Torah is removed from the Aron and is read to read the carbon of the day. So the question is, why on Shabbos? Why is it on Shabbos do we not take out every single Shabbos? We should take out two Sifrei Torah and we should read Uviyoyim HaShabbos. Why don't we do that? So the Gemara asks this question. And the Gemara says because there are only two Pesukim. Since the whole parasha of Shabbos is two psukim, pasuk tes and pasuk yud. Uviyam hashabbos shnei chvasim b'leishno timimim shnei yishnim solus milchu lo Hashem v'nitzko. That's one. Alas shabbos b'shabbos alas b'nitzko. You can't take out a sefer Torah just to read two psukim. You need to have three psukim. Hashem had rachmanis on us. Save the davening. Yes, to mish as well. There's no such thing as mishing. Mishing, you never mish. You only mish when you don't have another sefer Torah. So Hashem, it's not nice to say, he wanted us to get home quickly. So only on this only Rosh Chodesh. So imagine every Shabbos two sefer Torah davening would take another 10 minutes. Imagine how many more fights would break out in shul. How much for machloikis would break out in shul? And say, Hashem save the world by letting us get out of shul 10 minutes earlier.
No. To not have as much downtime to. Either to
a kiddush club. Okay, so it took away from. All right. But we only like so the but Parshas Pinchas is the exception, and that's a very special Shabbos because it is the only Shabbos of the year where we are doing what we really should do every single Shabbos. When you come to those two pesukim of Yom HaShabbos, the Baal Kori has to slow down. I remember once I lay many years ago in the shul in Parshas Pinchas. And the Gabbai said, you know, it's very hot and here in the shul, the air conditioner not working. Karbonas, the Meichel, just read it very quickly. But when it comes to Shabbos, this is the ideal. This is what we're really supposed to every Shabbos. So we lay these two psukim, we mekayim the din and the gemara. Now, there's a very, I think this fits with a very interesting remes. I saw this yesterday. It's very interesting. And from all the karbonas, we got all the karbonas. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Tamid, first the Tamid. You know something? I think the answer to the question just occurred to me now. It's very simple, the answer to the question. Forget about Rosh Hashanah being 2 days. The Tamid. The fact that you bring the Tamid is a chashivus in every single day in and of itself. Of course, there's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the Sholosh Regalim, but the fact that we bring a carbon Tamid every single day, every day is chashav in its own right. Shabbos is an additional chashivas. Rosh Hashanah is an additional. If you answer, you go back, what? 365 days. But you have Shabbos, you also have 54 Shabbos.
Twice a day, so 60 days.
No, but you have also Shabbos, you also, it's a set, but the fact that we have a special carbon for, so there's a chashivas in the day itself. So I think that's a very similar answer to the original question. We have 21 days in Parshas Pinchas. Rosh Hashanah is 1 day. So where do you get 21? It's only 20.
No.
Every day is chashav. The Torah gave chashivas to every single day because Hashem gave us the tamid for the tamid, which is the lead off carbon in the power of the parash. What?
Tamid would be. One.
I just mean one. Tamid, just like I'm only counting Shabbos once. How many days are Shabbos? Shabbos we only count as one. Rosh Chodesh, there are 12 Rosh Chodesh. We only count Rosh Chodesh as one. 20. Then we have the Moadin. So we do have in the Torah, we really do have 21. The Torah gave Chashivas to 21 days. It just so happens to be that every single day is one of those days. But the Torah shows every, make the most out of a single day. So I think that's a very simple answer to our question. So we really indeed have, in the parish of Karbanos, 21 days to correspond to the 21 days of the Yimei HaMetzarim. Okay, now let's go back to this is a very interesting remez. If you look at the Karbanos very carefully, this is very interesting. It says by every single carbon the word asiya, or a form of the word asiya. For example, let's go to the very first carbon, the Talmud Shal Shachar. Es hakeves echot ta'aseh. You shall do, you shall perform, you shall offer. Okay, then the keves asher ta'aseh. Let's go to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, it says, Parim takrivu. Takrivu, it says the word takrivu, you shall offer. A word, an action word. Takrivu oilul Hashem. You shall offer. The word takrivu corresponds to the word ta'aseh. Let's go to Pesach. Okay, I'm just jumping around here. Uvachodesh harishon, uvachamish also yom lachodesh hazeh chok shvasim matzos yichel b'yom harishon mikodesh shelchem v'kraftem hakrova. Okay, you go through every single one of the days. Okay, but it's an action word, correct? Different words. Asiya, Hakrava, different forms, but it's a verb. It's a verb. Do something. Look at Shabbos. Uvyoim HaShabbos is the only exception. There is no verb. Uvyoim HaShabbos Shnei Chavasim B'nei Shana Timimim. There are. It doesn't say to do anything. It just says, this is the way it is. Shnei Chavasim B'nei Shana U'Shnei Yeshim Solos Minchul Oshem B'Nisqa U'la Shabbos Shabbos U'la Shabbos B'Nisqa. It is the only day from the 21 types of Korbanos at the end of Pinchas where there is no verb. There is no asiyah. So I saw Darshan says, now we can understand a chazal. I don't know where this chazal is. I don't think it's a Gemara. I don't know where it says this. He claims it's a chazal that says that on Shabbos, how could you offer a korban on Shabbos? Chil Shabbos. It's Chil Shabbos. Teretz is the Torah says, you do it. Hutra, it's Mutra. There's no Chil Shabbos, it's what the Torah wants. But the minhag was, this is what it says, that on Shabbos, the ones who offer the Tamid shall, the Korbanos for Shabbos, were people that did not derive benefit from... Would not be inclined to derive benefit from the fire of the Mizbeach. In other words, let's say it's the winter, and it's cold. The Beis HaMikdash is outdoors. It's cold. So during the week, the Kohen that does the Avodah, let's say during the week, do it, bring a carbon tamid, you know, I'm cold. The Gemara tells us that the floor was marble, and they walked barefoot. They had the meduros, they had big fires in the Beis HaMikdash to keep the Kohanim warm. So how could you not help yourself when you go on the Mizbeach barefoot, and there's a big fire burning? Ah, you derive some benefit, the warmth. It's not Mila, you can't help yourself. Yeah, this is the way it is. But it cannot be loynid natural the malachi hashares. That's what the Gemara says, right? Loynid natural the malachi hashares. So you go on the mizbeach, so you derive a little bit of warmth. Okay, so that's the way it is. That's natural loynid natural the malachi hashares. But on Shabbos, if you're going to derive warmth, even though you're allowed to, because that's the way the world goes, it's chil Shabbos. It's not just you deriving benefit. There's a shtickel chil Shabbos taking place. Because to make a fire on Shabbos, to burn a carbon, you're not allowed to make a fire. Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshva sechem yema Shabbos. But you're allowed to because it's a carbon. You have to be minmayed as much as possible. Therefore, the ones that would give, they would give the avoided to bring the carbonos on Shabbos, were people that, I don't know, cold-blooded, hot-blooded, whatever you want to say, you know, there are people that walk around the winter, they don't have a coat. You know, I know such people. They don't own a coat. If it's 10 degrees below zero, they're walking around the street. One guy, he says, I wear gloves when it gets cold. Gloves, maybe a scarf. But does not own a coat. He never purchased a coat in the last 30 years. There are people like that. That's the type of guy that they will insist on doing the avoda on Shabbos. Because he doesn't need to be nele from the fire of the marach. This is what it says somewhere in Chazal. Why? It comes from this drasha. Because the Torah here alludes, the Torah here is, in a very subtle way, is said that the Torah doesn't openly say to be mechal Shabbos. That's a fascinating thing. When it comes to all of the Moadim, all the Moadim, Rubidrub, they fall out during the weekday. There's no Chil Shabbos, so do it. Hikravtem. Asiya. Go right ahead. Light the fire. Do the Shechita. Do it. You're not doing anything wrong. Shabbos. It's Chil Shabbos. It's Mutra. Hutra. The Chuyu, Hutra. It really is Hutra.
It's like a grumma.
But the Torah doesn't openly say it. The Torah doesn't openly say, be mechal Shabbos. Go right ahead. Be mechal Shabbos to bring the carbon. Doesn't say it. And because the Torah doesn't say it, the Torah is very delicate in its expression. Likewise, the Kohanim, when they would appoint, when they would select a person to do the Avodah, they would select someone who would be memayit in the Chilul Shabbos. It's not Chilul Shabbos. What?
Tamid and Shabbos, no Tashmid.
But no, the real, because the Talmud is done every single day, so the Torah is not going to emphasize the Talmud for Shabbos. Shabbos is only Shabbos. Talmud is done 6 days a week. So Menela Shabbos and Menela is the same thing. So the Torah talks about the Talmud primarily from the perspective of the weekday, not from the Shabbos. Okay. Now, okay, that is a var in and of itself. But I want to take this idea and extend it to what we just said. The Torah says, listen, there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Bizman hazeh. So what do we know? We say that Unshalma Forim Sifaseinu. So instead of bringing Korbanos, read the parasha of Korbanos. And by reading the parasha, it's Ki'ilu you offer Korbanos. That's why we say Korbanos every single day. We do this on a greater, on a more significant level on Yom Tov, where we take out of the Aron HaKodesh a special Sefer Torah, and we publicly read the parasha of Korbanos. But on Shabbos, Hashem was not matriachos to do it. Because on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wrote in the Torah two psukim. And since there are only two psukim, and you're not allowed to take out a Sefer Torah unless you have three psukim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Mela, just like it says the word, does not say the word taseh. Because Hashem was sensitive to the Chil Shabbos, it doesn't say the word taseh with regard to Unishalma Forim Sifoseinu. So it's like Hashem, I'm not telling you to do this every single Shabbos. It doesn't say an action word. Memeila it's done. But on Shabbos, Parshas Pinchas, Memeila, it's the Memeila. We read the Parsha, it's the Sidra, this is the order of the Torah. Memeila, Uviyoyim HaShabbos, Shnei Chavosim Neshana, we're able to chaparai and we read the two psukim from the parsha of the Karban of Shabbos. Yeah.
The shtickle remez to what you're saying, the state in the Sidra, that Yesh, is the Yehiratzon.
Right, you don't say it on Shabbos.
Yesh, Medalgim, Tfilas of the Shabbos of Yom Tov.
Well, that's because it's tefillah. You don't make requests. All the karbanos, right? You don't say the yiratzon. You don't say the yiratzon.
Yeah.
You don't say the yiratzon because that's the enough tefillah. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make personal requests on Shabbos.
The yiratzon. Okay.
Yeah.
On Rosh
Chodesh
Shabbos,
do you
read the Yom Shabbos?
Yeah.
Yes, because once you're laning for Rosh Chodesh, so Memelo, you're ready to take out the Sefer Torah. Those are exceptions. Those are exceptions, but it's not the norm. Right, that's an exception. On a regular Shabbos, when it's not Rosh Chodesh, you just read the parasha. Right, you just read the parasha, not the Rosh Chodesh. So that is one idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here, I saw this idea from a person, I saw this in the Sefer called Reshes Faseinu, by Rabbi Schlesinger. He quotes, he's Malachi, he has a lot of original ideas, but this idea he quotes from a person by the name of Schlesinger. Aresha Sefaseinu. He has a series of Sfarim. This particular Sefer is called Aresha Sefaseinu. It's a two-volume Sefer. His last name is Schlesinger. I think his first name is Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken. And most of the Sefer are his chidush, but every so often he quotes someone else, and here he quotes a person by the name of, just give me a half a second, I don't know who he quotes. I'm thinking about something else. There's another voice I want to say, if I'm getting confused, but he says the following idea. This week's parasha, we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need a new leader. We need to have a search committee to find a successor for Moshe Rabbeinu, and in his request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appoint a successor, he compares. We're going to get to that a little soon if we have time. But he says something. He compares the Jewish people to sheep, and he compares the leader to a shepherd. Just give me a second. We find the pasuk. Chavzayin tezayin. Yifkoid Hashem elokei anuchas luchol baso ish al ho'edo asher yetzei lifnehem v'asher yovin lifnehem v'asher yotzin v'asher yivyem. And then he says v'lo sihye adas Hashem katzoin, like sheep asher ein lohem royeh, that do not have a shepherd. Okay, beautiful expression. That Klal Yisrael is compared to sheep. We say this is the highlight of the Yamim Leirahim, Kiva Koras, Roye, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate shepherd. We are a sheep. We are Hashem Roi Loyechzar, Bino Estesha Yarbitzeni. Hashem takes us out into the best pasture. Hashem is the ultimate shepherd. Okay. And here, every manhig is also is a me'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, is a serving in a Hevidei Meloi. And also a Reitzah. David was a Reitzah, and Shaul, and Moshe, and Yaakov, and his children, they were all Reitzah. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu says this explicitly, Lo'si Adas Hashem Katzen Asher Ein Lohem Reitzah. So if Schlesinger asks, this is the name of someone, if I'm not mistaken, why does the pasuk have to add this extra word, Asher Ein Lohem Reitzah? It would have been enough to say, Lo'si Adas Hashem Katzen Asher Ein Reitzah. It appears the word lohem is superfluous. The same message would have been conveyed without the word lohem. Asher ein roya. So he says something which is very powerful, and I want to take this and apply it in another direction as well, but the main yesod is as follows. There are two types of shepherds. There's a shepherd who works for himself. He owns the sheep. And there's a shepherd that's a hired hand. He doesn't own the sheep. He has been hired to care for someone else's sheep. What's the difference between the two? If you own the sheep, what do? You take them out to pasture. Month here, then you go a month there. They fatten them, and then you bring them home. And when you bring them home, what do? You take it to the market and you sell it. Or you slaughter it and you eat the meat. So when you have a good shepherd who owns the sheep, when he cares for the sheep, who is he really caring for? For himself. Because if the sheep are healthy and fat and well cared for, they're worth more money. They're worth a lot of money, and the shepherd himself will profit. He will sell it, he'll have more money. He'll eat the meat, he'll have more what to eat for himself and his family. But if the shepherd does not own the sheep, he's just a hired hand, he doesn't care really about it doesn't make a difference how healthy and how fat. He's getting a fixed salary. It doesn't make a difference whether the sheep weigh 50 pounds or they weigh 60 pounds. He is getting a fixed salary. What?
Yeah,
well, he'll cut corners. You know, he'll care for them just enough, or it won't be worth it to him for his employer to pay severance and to go through the uncomfortable whole. What? Oh, so let's explain. So we'll come to that. So here, if the shepherd cares for the sheep well, if he really cares for the sheep in this situation where he doesn't own the sheep. It's because he cares about the sheep, not because he cares about himself. If he has nothing to gain, nothing more to gain, if the sheep are cold or hot, are injured, have what to eat, don't have what to eat, if he goes out and makes sure the sheep are taken care of, it's because he really cares about the sheep. It's not because he cares about himself, because he really has nothing more to gain. There are two types of leaders. There are people that want to go into Rabbanus, want to go into klal work, want to become leaders of klal Yisrael for their own hanah, for their own legacy. They like to hear themselves. They like to see their picture in the newspaper. They like to.
They like to boss around people.
They have a need for this. It's a hanah. What about their flock, their people? They couldn't care less about them. They're just instruments for their own hanah. That's one type of leader. And then there's a leader that couldn't care less about himself. He's in it l'shma. He sees a need. He cares about the people. He doesn't care about himself. That's what it says here, as Rav Schlesinger says, that's why we have here in this pasuk the extra word, asher ein lohem roya. There's no doubt in my Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what he explains. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I have no doubt there will be many candidates. There will be hundreds of resumes on the desk of the search committee for my to replace me. Many people want a shtel. I know that. But unfortunately, I know that most of the candidates are in it for themselves. If they're in it for themselves, then the result will be that Klal Yisrael will have a shepherd. They'll have a shepherd. It will be Tzoyn Asher Yesh Lohe Asher Yesh Roye. There are sheep which have a shepherd. But it's not their shepherd. It's not a shepherd that's in it for Klal Yisrael. I'm a spalo to you, Ribbono Shel Olam. All the candidates that apply for the job, make sure the candidate that you select is a candidate that will fulfill the word Lohem. It should not be that he's in it for himself. It should be that he's in it for Klal Yisrael. Even if you have a good leader, but I don't let the leader be a leader. He's not. The sheep don't have a shepherd for themselves. The shepherd is a shepherd for his own benefit, not for the benefit of the sheep. So this is a very beautiful idea that Rav Shulzger ties into this epoch. Now let's go even a step further with this. Let's go a step further to smicha. Smicha is a very unique way with how smicha is bestowed upon a student. With the hands. Hashem says to Moshe, Hashem says, okay, I have the candidate. Vayoyim Hashem al-Moshe kachalach as Yoshua binun. Ish, asher ruach boy. V'samachto es yod cholov, and you shall rest your hand upon him. Now notice that Hashem says, smicha shall be done with one hand. You rest one hand. The right hand, one hand. The Hamadatoi Solifne Elozo Akoin, Lufnikoloida, the Tzivisus Lufneim, the Natsata, Mehoid Cholov, and you shall put upon him from your splendor, Laman Yishmu, Koladas, Bide Yishol. Okay, then it goes further, and then Pasach of Beis says that Vayas Moshe Kasher Tziva Shem Isova Yikaches Yoshua. He took Yoshua, Vayamideo Lufne Elozo Akoin, Lufnikoloida, Vayismoch Es Yodof, both hands. Moshe Rabbeinu rested. Hashem told him only to rest one hand. Moshe Rabbeinu rested both hands. Yodov Olav Ayitzabeu Kasher Diber Hashem Biyad Moshe. Rashi, beautiful, beautiful Rashi. Vayismoich es Yodov Ba'ayin Yofe. Moshe Rabbeinu was only told to rest one hand. He rested two hands. Generous, generosity, spirit of generosity. Yoyser v'yoyser mimash and itzdava. Beautiful Rashi. Yoyser v'yoyser. Rashi is extremely precise in his words, and here he is poetic. Yoyser v'yoyser mimash and itzdava. She'akodesh baruch hu amoloi v'samach des yodcha v'guasa b'shtei yodav v'yosahu kichli molei v'godosh. Like a utensil that's heaping. It's not enough when you pour for someone, you like a cup of wine, so you just pour half a cup. Pour the cup all the way, you pour the cup until it overflows. Godosh, heaping measure. Godosh, mole the Godosh, umaloi, chochmosoi be'ayin yofe, and Moshe filled up. Umiloi, chochmosoi be'ayin yofe, Moshe filled up. The wisdom of Yehoshua with an ayin yofe. Very elaborate, Rashi, very elaborate here. The generosity of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on over here? First of all, Hashem told him one hand. What's going on over here?
Disobey.
What? Disobey. So sometimes when you do more, it's all relative. What's called disobey? But over here. But we don't find anywhere that Hashem criticized Moshe for this. This was Adrab, this was viewed as a very great praise to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on over here? What is this about? You put your hand, you give smicha. I don't know, someone I know, he knew the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he told me the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the tradition, all of the, he gave smicha, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he gave to different yechidim smicha, and he received smicha from his grand, from his shver, and there's a certain way you give smicha, there's a whole matter of the way, you go to yeshiva, They don't make a ceremony where they, not that I know of, not at least not in Torah Das, we didn't have any laying hand ceremony. But it appears, even not so long ago in Europe, that when you receive smicha, they actually, the one that gives the smicha puts his hand, and you do in a certain way, one hand on the head and one hand I don't know. I don't remember this, how it's done, but there's a whole chokhmah based upon these sukkim, one hand, two hands. There's something to it. You have to be ma'ayin into this, how smicha was traditionally given, talking in recent times. To recent times, how it was given. I don't think that anyone does this anymore. Fine. But what's this all about? The hand. There's only one other place where we find the hand being used in bestowing something to someone else. Birchas Kehanim. Well, okay, that birchas. Okay, you got me. I'm talking about practical, practical level. We find that Yismach Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha to Yosef. That's right. He gave a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. And we find, where else do we find? We just say Yosef to Ephraim and Menashe, and Yaakov to Yosef. Also, perhaps. Fine. But I'm talking about halacha l'maisa. Practically speaking, a tzivui, that this is the way one of the Tayyag mitzvahs must be done. Birchas Kehanim. What? Karbonos. Karbonos. Besides karbonos. Good. That's a good point also. Right. But talk about human beings. Where is this smicha human beings? So maybe I'm forgetting, but there's only two mitzvahs. Let's deal with practical matters. Birchas Kehanim. We have Kehanim here? Any Kehanim? Birchas Kehanim. You got to raise your hands, right? We spoke about this. You got to raise your hands. Birchas Kehanim is done with the hands. And smichas chacham is done with hands. We don't do smicha. We don't have real smicha b'zman hazeh. Smicha is in bottle, but really there should be smicha. So these are two things which are supposed to be practical, which are supposed to be done. What? Obviously there is a connection. Well, what's the connection? Now, the chayyim, they're totally different. They're completely separate things. The smicha of birchas kehanim is baruch. You give blessing to the recipient. That's the job of the kohanim, to be the instrument, the vehicle of bracha, kol shprachu to the kohanim. What is smichas chachamim? It's not bracha. It's not bracha. It is the transmission. The transmission of the Mesorah. Everything that I know, I got from the Ribbono of Shel Olam. I'm giving it to you. There's no bracha here. This just take it. And then Yeshua, he'll give it to the next level. I'm giving it to you. That's one hand. When you add a second hand, what you're saying to the Talmud is, Talmud, I'm not just giving it to you with a cold heart. I wanted you should be successful. I want you to be matzliach. The ayin yof of Moshe Rabbeinu, just like we had, this one parallels the bar we had before. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rebbe, I don't want their, Klal Yisrael will have a leader. I have no doubt about it. Everyone wants a shtel. Everyone's in it. Everyone, you'll have 300 resumes on your desk. But I want the right person. I want the one that should be there, have the shtel, should be for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, not for his own benefit. That's one idea. Parallel to this idea is when Moshe Rabbeinu gives smicha, I work my whole life to learn Torah. I'm leaving this world. No, take it. Take it and good luck. Good luck. It's not my problem. I have my legacy. I will go down in world history as being a great rabbi and so on and so forth. You get to work. Good luck. No. When you have a talent and you give over, you have to give over with bracha. You have to be sincere that the Talmud should be successful. You should want the Talmud to succeed, not just, I succeed. If you'll succeed, there are people like this, it's hard to believe. I don't want you to succeed, because if you'll succeed, people will say that I was no big deal, it's a shtus. I want to take all the credit. I want to take the credit for myself. So you'll be a failure. So that will look back. Wow, he was successful. But if you'll also succeed, they'll say it was no big deal to succeed. That's a sin. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu gave both hands. One hand is take the chachma, take the reins of leadership. The second hand is when Moshe is borrowing from the parasha of Birchas Kehanim. The other idea of the hand. I give you a baracha. I want you to succeed. I want you to be matzliach. That is smicha. The smicha has to be done, ayin yofeh, with a will of success. That's the only place where there will be true baracha. Okay, one more last part, because you mentioned this.
Andy,
what?
Your dog.
Yeah.
Okay. I know I'm on the wrong track.
No. I don't know that. Yeah.
What happened basically was Shem told Moshe to talk to the rock.
Yeah.
And then utilizes Yod to hit the rock.
Uh-huh. So here he's trying to rectify that. He's rectifying the Yod hit the rock with an additional hand. Something along those lines? Very good, very interesting.
You see it in day-to-day life also, when you shake somebody's hand, it has a certain meaning, but when you get an enthusiastic hand,
two hands, very good, very good. So one more last part. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a very Yifkoy Hashem Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar. We're learning Yeshaya, and we learn Yeshaya, and Hashem has so many different names. It's so hard to keep track. Sometimes Hashem is called Hashem. Sometimes he's called Elokim. Sometimes he's called Hashem Elokim. Sometimes Kel Hashem Elokim. Kel Hashem Elokim Tzavokos. Kel Hashem Elokim Tzavokos Elokei Ha'olam. You study Tanakh. Every other pasuk, Hashem is defined in an entirely different way. Shakai, Tzavokos, all these combinations back and forth. Here we have a new name for HaKadosh Baruch, a whole new name. What's the name? Vayomer Yifkoy Hashem. Who is Hashem? Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar, the God of spirits. Ruchos L'chol Basar. Of all flesh.
One is spiritual, one is physical.
Okay.
Ruach is spiritual.
Spiritual and basar is flesh. But why all of a sudden here are we referring to Ish, and with this name, in this koyach, you shall appoint Ish al Ho'eda. So what does Rashi say? Can I make a long story short? Because I don't have all the source in front of me anyway. But Elokei Haruchos, here's Rashi, okay? Lama Nemar. Amar Lefanov, I'm quoting Rashi, why did Moshe say this unusual expression of Elokei Haruchos? Amar Lefanov, Ribbono Shel Olam, Goli Lefanecha, Daita Shel Kol Echad V'Echad, Ve'einam Doimim Ze Lo Ze. Everyone is different. You cannot generalize when it comes to the understanding, the hashkafa of man. You have a room of two people, three opinions. Everyone thinks differently. G'shem she partzufeim einam shavos kach de'oisem einam shavos. Einam doim uzel ozeh. Manei aleihem manig, a leader that's tolerant of everyone. A leader has to understand that not everyone thinks like him. People think differently, and every Baal Bas in the shul thinks differently, and it's incredible talent to be able to deal with all different types of ideas and minds and desires. Mane aleim manig she soivel kol echad vi echad lefi daite. Person that you can tell. In Parash of Shaduchim, we have this concept called an Ezer Kinegdo. Hashem said to Adam, there was no Ezer. Okay, so I'm just recalling from memory. Ezer, what is the idea? Ezer Kinegdo. Zocha Ezer, loy Zocha Kinegdo. But the other Rishonim, the Parshanim, explained that that's really what Kinegdo means, Lefi Ruchai. Every person needs a spouse that understands him. Lefi Kinegdo. This is the way they think. This is the way their approach to life. That person needs a spouse that can relate. Whether relating is a contrast or similar, but there has to be some type of match where it works well together. What works well for one person will not work well for another person. There's a certain magic that goes into a husband and wife relationship that's called kinegdo in Ezer, someone that will help you, that will be kinegdo, which will complement your spirit, your ruach. The word basar, what does it say? If a person is successful, the person is successful and has an Ezer Kinegdo, the hayu libasar echad, the word basar, the product. What does Rashi there say? They'll marry, they'll have a child, and the child, that human being, will be one basar, which will encompass both husband and wife. So in other words, the drush I'm trying to say here is that the title, this new title, Hashem has many names, Kel, Tzvokos, Shakai, Hashem was a Zokain, it's called a Zokain, he's a Chocham, a Bochor, a Gibor, all different kufas in history, Chayashol, he's referred to. Hashem is also the ultimate Shatran. He's the ultimate Shatran, a matchmaker. And in fact, the Gemara says that half the day, that's what Hashem does, half a day. There's a medrash. Half a day he learns with the children, he does, he takes care of the world, gets parnasa, and then half a day he's on the phone, making shidduch. That's what it says in the medrash. How do we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a shatran? Elokei haruchos l'chol basar. Hashem knows how to match people with each other to produce the hayu lebasar echad. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, here, I need a manik. This manik is going to be a mashal, is going to be the paradigm of all manhigim for all kehilos and klal Yisrael. Not every manik, the verb shooting, I'm saying. Not every manik is good for, you could have the most wonderful person, the biggest Talmud Chacham, a wonderful speaker, full of personality. He just doesn't fit this kehila. This community needs someone different. And you could have a wonderful kehila. It's a shirach. A rav with a kehila is a shirach. What's good for one is not good for another. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yibarech Shalom, Klal Yisrael needs a manik. And Klal Yisrael is a marshal for all of the little kehilos that will exist from now until the end of days. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there has to be a special hashkacha in matching the right leader for the kehila. And we need to make use of your koyach of shatchonis, your koyach of a matchmaker for this process. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu mispal that HaKadosh Baruch should always be appointed the right manik for the right, he just can't take out of a hat. You go here, you go here, you go there. It just doesn't work like that. You can't take a smicha class and just throw them out all over the place and everyone, it's not going to work. Each kehila needs the right one. You need to use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach as the ultimate shatran. Elokei haruchos l'chol basar. That's what we need now. Ishalo Eda. You appoint Ishalo Eda. Because the shidduchim is in Rabbanis just as it is in husband and wife. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Just to go back.